Warning, the hosts of this program are not broadcast professionals. They have no idea what they're doing. They are bad at this. One of them uses swear words. A lot. All complaints about this show are correct. You have been warned. This is your last chance to download a real podcast. Okay, you asked for it. Here are Dave Brown and Iron Mike Irons. This is Entitled Town.
All right. Thank you, Al. I'm Dave Brown. I'm here with Iron Mike Irons here on Entitled Town. I want to thank Al. It was a very tough week for him. He was very sick. He had the flu. It was bad. It was a bad scene. He came in, put in the IV, and just did that announce perfectly, which usually we just play a recording of Al's announce. He insisted on coming in and doing it live. He remains the most consistent thing about this program. So I give a big ups for Al for no excuses, delivering when he was, I mean, he just fell down. It's a bad scene. And I can't help him because I'm here doing the show with Mike Irons. Mike, I think we're gonna let Al figure it out, right?
Well, he's sick, yet he still came into the Entitled Town offices wearing a Varsity Letterman jacket, Texan style. I didn't appreciate that. He's trying to trigger me.
Well, we all make choices in life, and as Al appears to be having a fever dream, spouting out weird nonsense that I don't understand and asking for help.
That would mean the Globe's going to hire him to replace Volan if he keeps spouting nonsense.
Well, I think Al's going to have to sit there and just think about his choices. That's because you're not helping him, and I'm following your lead. So here we go.
That's a shame.
But speaking of illness, a lot of people were sick for the Patriots last week. A lot of fans came out of the game feeling kind of sick, based on what I've seen on Twitter today. And you would never know it, but the New England Patriots are tied for the best record in the NFL at 10-2. But due to the tiebreaker, they have only the second best seeding for the playoffs if the playoffs were to start today. And that is the source of some fear. Are you holding out okay?
I'm holding out. I will tell you.
Or holding up, that, maybe.
Either works. I will say, and this will be a first for me, I thought that Mittens losing dullard Ben Volan hit it absolutely. Nail on the head, Ben. Well done. His headline, well, here's a headline. Reality is the Patriots are simply not a great team. It's a bold headline. Oh, and excuse me, Dave.
I haven't seen that headline today.
No, you know why? My mistake. That headline is from 50 weeks ago after the Patriots lost at Heinz Field against the Steelers when the wheels were coming off the Blues Brothers Bluesmobile.
Well, he was right, though, wasn't he? How did that
He wasn't that? Right.
That was, are you sure? Because, if I remember correctly, the Patriots, that was their fifth loss of the season. It was their second loss in a row.
I think it mathematically eliminated them from the postseason, I believe. My memory is a little bit fuzzy.
Okay.
I was hit by a duck boat in February, so I have some traumatic amnesia.
So many seasons and so many playoff games, I can't keep track of what happened when. Was that the year did they make the play? They made the playoffs all but two times, right?
Well, they made the playoffs only because they allow too many teams in the postseason.
So they did make the playoffs last year, and then what happened?
I think so, yeah.
Did they win any games in the playoffs last year? Let's consult.
I don't know. But you'll be happy to know that this tweet
Football Reference says they played – they made it – they were the second seed, and they played a game at home, and they won against San Diego.
That game doesn't really count. The Chargers weren't good.
You know what? Yeah, and they also – they're the Los Angeles Chargers, and that's not a real thing.
Right.
We can all agree on that. When I said San Diego, it all felt correct to everyone. So we'll go with that. They're not.
Well, now I'm remembering. Hold on. Now I'm remembering. The Patriots then played the next week. In correct me if I'm wrong. They played in Kansas City, but weather was cold. It was a weather game.
It was cold.
So the Patriots won, and that game that wasn't fair. The result was invalidated.
When it's cold, or when there's any kind of weather, we don't know who the best team is. So yesterday was great because it was played inside.
Sterile environment.
72 degrees, and we know that the Houston's the best team. We know that because they're not better at playing in the rain. They're just better.
Did they get the Lombardi? I turned off the TV after Brandon Bolden almost pulled off his OBJ.
They had more confetti. I was at that stadium for Super Bowl 51.
Sick humble brag, dude.
And I think there was more confetti last night than the confetti after the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Avi.
Big deal. So, all right. Well, I think.
Well, you'll be happy to know that the Mittens were losing dullard, Volan tweeted today. And I quote, AFC teams that are currently better than the Patriots, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, Titans, Bills are neck and neck. I'm going to take a wild guess that tweet's not going to age very well.
Well,
he's gaslighting at a preschool level. He is
certainly. Here's what I'll say. Everyone's entitled to have an opinion. I think sometimes, you know, like you just.
I would argue he's not entitled to have an opinion. He's an abject moron.
Do you want me to play a little bit of devil's advocate here?
Do I have a choice?
Well, I'm not a very good advocate for this particular devil, so I'll say. So
you mispronounced dullard.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. Everyone's entitled to look at the thing and go, I think this team's better than that team. Here's the problem, I think, with this particular person doing it, is that...
The person, you mean?
I just don't know how to take it seriously. Like, I don't know if he actually feels that way. Maybe he does. But if that's his judgment, okay, I think that... Here's the thing. Let's say that he's not trying to... Let's say that he is genuinely trying to reach that conclusion. The Patriots beat the Bills. So that's tough for that. It's tough to say that they're not as good as the Bills. And they have fewer losses than Buffalo. You know? What's the Titans record right now?
7-5.
They have 5 losses. I mean, that's... To say that they're the Titans are better, sitting there with 5 losses, is a little silly. You know, it's just a little silly. I mean, you know, and one of the things which we try to sort out here is how much of this stuff is disingenuous, trying to be outrageous, trying to come up with the most creatively outrageous take. You know, like the Brady's on the injury report, so he's just getting his excuses ready for Sunday type thing. And, you know, is that the case here with Ben? Like, is he genuine? Who are the other teams that he said? The Ravens? He said the Chiefs.
Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, and Titans.
So the Texans just beat the Patriots. So
did the Ravens. Fine.
And they didn't play in the rain. So maybe Ben feels like that's a legitimate opinion. And you know what? If you want to say that Houston's better than the Patriots, I might raise some issues and say, I don't know if every meeting between them would play out like it did yesterday. But I think, you know, for a day, for a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever, until they meet again, Houston feels like they're certainly capable of beating the Patriots because they just did it. And that's fair. And you know what? Same thing with the Ravens. Like, to this point, the Ravens have played better than the Patriots. They probably have the same record. The Ravens have beaten them. And the Ravens have just played better than everybody. They've just had one heck of a last, you know, month or 6 weeks or whatever. But getting back,
Dave, I don't want to go all Pollyanna on you here. I really don't.
Who else did he say? So he said the Texans, Titans, Ravens.
Ravens, Texans, Chiefs. So Ravens, check. Texans, check. Chiefs,
year.
And Titans.
You know, I mean, look, we're going to find out this week. See, this is the problem. Why do a power rankings like that? You know, why sit there and come up with that list? You're setting yourself up to, first of all, they're not going to play all of those teams. So. You have more of a chance of being proven wrong than of being proven right, because the Patriots will play.
Do you think there was any foresight? Do you think there was any planning of foresight by this guy? Of course there wasn't.
I don't know. I think maybe there's a combination here of saying that to, like, I think he genuinely believes it. And I'll tell you something. You know, I've talked with Ben in the past about some of the things that he's expressed, and I believe he has some strong conviction in the things that he says.
Yeah, he should be convicted.
And sometimes when you believe that you can say something, you adopt it as a belief and you don't evaluate the question of whether you should say it. Like, really, do you need to do your internal, do power rankings even need to exist? And does the world need your particular power rankings? What journalistic value does that provide? And I raise that issue because Ben's not even, he's not a, a radio guy who has to fill 4 hours. He works for the paper of record in Boston.
And John Henry's Red Sox Reuters Gazette.
And sometimes people give me a hard time about that. They say, the Globe's not as good as it used to be, or it's not the paper record. And I say, listen, I mean, there's only a couple of papers in town. It's still the most read. I would say, depending on what, but, pound for pound, I still think it's better than the Herald. And so maybe that's a low bar here, but
in the way that cat poop is better than dung, cow dung. I mean, it's the flip sides of the same coin, Dave.
But to use your analogy, one of those dungs is the dung of record, and they're supposed to be like instead of allowing results that we don't think are where they should be to judge them by a low standard because you don't think that the quality of the publication is where it should be. I think we should put the standard very high and hold most journalistic institutions to that high standard, regardless of whether they're close to meeting it. And I think, when you talk about does a journalistic entity need to provide you with the power ranking, which has absolutely no journalistic or informational value, or even picking the games? Like last year, they had a whole thing with where Chris Gasper picked Houston, and then everybody in week one, and then everybody got on his case about it, and he's like, "Well, wait a minute, hey, not fair! I didn't even make that pick." It was someone in the office. I'm on vacation in Europe, guys.
Well, I'll tell you, it's hard for me to believe, Dave, that the Globe would employ anybody who made things up and had it put in print.
Well, it's one of those things where great job sticking up for your institution and not revealing the charade of these picks. But
you're a Yankee fan. Do you remember the line that Reggie Jackson had about Yankees management in the early 80s? One's a liar, the other's convicted.
No.
Well, it's a great line. It was Steinbrenner and I think Billy Martin. The Globe sent two guys to Houston to cover the game last night. One's a liar, Dan Shaughnessy. The other's convicted, Volan. This is Shaughnessy's lead on Friday. The Patriots always beat the Texans, and this town will be no different. That was Friday. His gaslighting tweet today was, the Patriots have no margin for error. Volan. Volan's trampolining off of Curran. Curran has been hammering this point home whole year. Tom Curran used the phrase, and I'm doing this from memory. They were criminally, I believe Curran used the phrase regarding the Patriots' weapons, was that they were criminally underrepresented. Volan today, the Patriots' front office has committed roster malpractice by not putting more talent around Brady. They used a first-round pick on a running back last year. They used a first-round pick on a wide receiver this year. They traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. They extended James White.
Right.
And I truly believe, and I'm actually coming around the other way. I've believed, you made the point a minute ago about we should hold the media and the coverage to a higher standard. I'm starting to believe, after looking at Twitter last night, that the fans at large, the fans of the Patriots, by and large, are getting the media they deserve. Looking at the shoe pissing, and the abject, the fans of the big radio men, it's disheartening.
Yeah, no, I understand your frustration there, and you know, I think it's a it's a large part product of the 60-second news cycle and the idea that there's always a place for you to provide any thought you have in one outlet or another, whether it's on, you know, on a cable TV show that gets, you know, a good number of people watching, or on a radio
like
show.
Bart Scott today, the Patriot, Bart Scott said on ESPN today, and most of everybody I would imagine has heard this by now, that the Patriots have never had to go on the road to get to the Super Bowl, except they did it 11 months ago.
Then I think I've done it three times, right? Because the
01. 01 and 04. They beat a 15-1 Pittsburgh team.
So half of their Super Bowls.
There's a lot of parallels with this year. And one of our great Twitter followers, the Fear the Beard, I believe he's at FTBeard17. He's terrific. He made the point today.
Yeah, if you're a Patriots fan, you're not following.
As well. The parallels statistically to 2004 are pretty stark. Do you remember the game the Patriots lost in Miami in December 2004 when Brady was getting pulled down through the interception and A.J. Feely beat them at home?
Yeah, bad game for them. Typical Miami.
Bad game for them.
Miami typical. And right, if you're not following, if you're not following Fear the Beard, Patriots fans,
You're not doing Twitter right then.
You're not. That's a great follow for Patriots fans. Okay, so let me throw this at you. Last night, as terrible as they supposedly, well, as terrible as they were, and then they've been savaged like all day.
They weren't good. I'm not gonna do the reverse of what I accuse media of doing. They weren't good. But the thing that I will tell you,
I'm prefacing by saying that it wasn't a great game for them.
You remember? Did you see the 2014, the original "Do Your Job"? They got Belichick said, and I'm quoting, I'm paraphrasing. He said they got smashed in Kansas City. They went winning at halftime. And they probably weren't going to win the game, but they didn't quit. The 2009 team, in retrospect, the Adelius Thomas, Sean Springs, Joey Galloway abortion, that team had a lot of quit in it. They fought to the end last night, and that's really all you can ask. The team had the plague, Dave. I mean, the plague going through them during the week, and they lost by 6 points in the road. And I'm just not going to buy that. They're criminally underrepresented, or any of this other gaslighting bullshit that's going on. The season, they're going to get better. N'Keal Harry, the glorified intern, terrible night last night. I'm not going to make excuses for him not fighting on that catch.
Interception was his fault for sure.
Right. I'm not going to, you know, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? You just believe your own eyes. They will get better, and if they don't, you know, it's not a moral failing. But history suggests that they will improve as the season goes on, and they'll make adjustments. The Texans did a good job last night on following the Ravens' blueprint. Deshaun Watson got out of a sack from John Simon, made an amazing play, turned a 15-yard loss into an incompletion, and the Ravens scored in that drive. The other guys get paid too.
Right. And okay, so here's what I'm going to throw at you, is that it's amazing because I've made this point in the past. So everything's flipped. I came back to covering the Patriots in 2016, and their model at that time was elite offense, and you need the defense to be average and special teams to be pretty good. And so keep the special teams where it is. You need them to be pretty good. But the defense is elite, and the offense needs to be average. And Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz did a piece on this a few years ago, and I think he's onto something. And I don't even know if it was the headline of the piece or just an observation he made, but that I'll have to go find it maybe. But here's the point. The point is that to win a Super Bowl, you need one unit that is playing elite and one unit, you know, between the offense and the defense. You need one that's playing elite and you need one that's at least average. And you go through time and it's more likely that you're going to win with one unit playing elite than a balance. Okay. And sorry, I've got, I think that's on you.
Oh shoot. That is me. I was wondering what the hell that was.
You're making noise.
That's the, That's the glorious tones of Joe Tessitore on Monday Night Football.
So this is my long way of saying that right now, it's the defense's job to put them in a position to win. And this was the most points they'd scored since October. As much as people want to give the offense a hard time, it was the second worst performance by the defense. And I find it interesting that in the past, it was always, there were games when I remember coming out and making this reverse take that, in 2016 or 2017, I remember saying to people, listen, people get so upset about the defense. Oh, the defense blew it. And I go, look, tonight was a night where the offense didn't get the points. The offense didn't carry the defense the way it's supposed to, because that's the elite unit. And I look at last night and I say, to me, there's an issue there where the defense actually is where it didn't work out. Now, you go and it's one of two things. I mean, you got Deshaun Watson with 140.7 quarterback rating. No one has done that to them. You know, I mean, I guess Lamar Jackson might have been up that high, but not, I mean, did he have 25 pass attempts in that game? I don't know. Maybe that's true. But anyway, so the only other guy who's done is Lamar Jackson. And you say, well, a third of the team was listed as questionable with the flu. The flu is a real thing. People, you know, if you're listening right now, my voice, you can probably hear that I'm sick. I've been sick since Wednesday of almost 2 weeks now, almost 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's this stuff lingers with you. And they supposedly had the flu, which is completely debilitating. The idea of anybody playing any recreational sport when you're that sick is insane. And sure, they have things, you know, they have IVs and they have, I'm sure, all kinds of wonderful elixirs and medications.
They took two different planes for the game.
Right. They took two planes. Like, now here's the thing. They're never going to tell us if being sick affected them. And, you know, it goes back to this point about the weather. It's not about who's the best team. You know, this thing of like, oh, well, I want perfect weather to know who's the best team. You're never going to have 100% perfect everything. You're never going to have 46 healthy guys. Of the top 46 guys on each roster are not going to be healthy every week. You're not. Plus, you're not going to have 72 and sunny every week. You're not going to have everybody's feeling well. There's stuff in people's personal lives. There's bad calls. You're never going to have a perfect situation. And so the Patriots are never going to say to us, well, you know, we lost that game because of the flu. They may have had a challenge that they have to win in spite of. And you know what? If that challenge creeps up again in the postseason, your season is over if you can't overcome it. And it happened. We saw it in 2006.
AFC title game, yes.
The AFC title game, the defense was gassed, and they had the flu all week. And, you know, it's one of those things where
it's the kind of game that might build some mental toughness in this team or further develop.
Well, I think it may have demonstrated some, but let me finish this point, which is that it's you might have challenges in any given week that are more substantial or unfair than what your opponent has to deal with that week. You know, half the teams in the NFL every week are playing on the road. And that's already a challenge the other team doesn't have to deal with. And maybe you're sick and the other team isn't. But if you lose the game, an L shows up in the loss column. Now, why would I talk about this? Am I here to make excuses for why they lost? No. They failed to overcome yet another challenge of being sick. And that's unfortunate for them. But here's why I think it's important to discuss. If we're going to sit here and look ahead and we're going to say, okay, they're worse than Tennessee, who has five losses. If we're going to say they can't win the Super Bowl, well, you have to take into account that perhaps they'll be healthier moving forward. And perhaps a team that was a bit debilitated by the flu and showed up and played to the end for 60 minutes. And if Brandon Bolden catches that ball, they get at least one more heave, one more chance to win it. They were, you know, one bounce away from a shot to win the game.
Can you imagine the heads exploding if he had recovered that all on the press box in the New England? Dear God.
I felt so bad for Brandon Bolden because what a play that would have been. I mean, if he'd gotten that, and it's so hard to get the onside kicks now, and I think that the Falcons recovered two of them last Thursday.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yes. My brother, I turned the game off, and my brother texted me. He goes, turn on the game. It's a one-score game, and they got two onside kicks. I will say the thing
– they did it twice. It really was very, very close. In fact, they were also close when Barkevious Mingo – I think it was Mingo. Oh, God. I'm still sick, guys. I think it was Mingo who recovered the first attempt from Bailey, and that ball bounced off of him back on the turf. They almost got that one too.
Mingo doesn't play for the Patriots.
But what's that?
Mingo.
Mingo is now playing for Houston. I think he recovered the first kick. I think it bounced off Mingo, and then he kind of corralled it. So they almost had a chance because it has to hit Mingo first. It hit him, bounced back onto the turf. He was able to pull it back in, but there was that
right
moment where they had a shot. So you know, I do think it's worth sitting here and asking the question. I'm just asking the question.
Of course, caller.
Just ask. It's okay to admit that it's all right to ask questions. All right. So if they were sick and they played like that, would it not be raw? Would it be okay to have some optimism about what this team is doing? Would you?
I'm a cockeyed optimist, as you know. I feel good about it. I mean, did they play well last night? No. They have a challenge against the Chiefs this week. The game's going to be at Foxborough, so hopefully for the mittens losing dullard, the weather will be good. They have a challenge with the Chiefs, and I feel good about it.
I'm excited.
Tell you, I didn't see what I didn't like what I saw for the first three quarters last night, but they will practice this week. I'm pretty sure of that.
I'm excited because they've had such great games with the Chiefs last year, you know, and I would expect there to be a good football game. The thing that's funny about Patriots fans, and another one of the reasons why I think this podcast is named Entitled Town, is because you guys hate good games. Like, maybe you personally don't have an issue with it, but the amount of complaining that comes after the Patriots win a close game, it's ridiculous. It's just, I mean,
the Dallas game last week was, I mean, you want to talk about it. It was a fantastic game between, I made the point over and over again. I couldn't believe how poorly coached the Cowboys were, but it was a weather game. So it probably doesn't count anyway, if you're a member of the Globe, but
I don't know if it meant anything when the Bills went down there and gave it to them pretty good.
Yeah. They kicked the shit out of them, but it was indoors. So what do we really know about the Bills? That was the takeaway I had today, and I put it on Twitter, is that I can't believe that the same people who are gushing over the Ravens and the 49ers playing a really good game yesterday and giving the 49ers credit for mental toughness and going on the road and playing well can't do the same. It's the theme of the week for me is the media gaslighting people who follow them, and their leader, ironically, their leader is a man who needs warming napkins on Nantucket in August to stay comfortable.
Well, who doesn't?
The people who worship the talking radio men are worse than they're the worst. I mean, I made the point on Twitter, is like my timeline got pared down a lot today. A lot. And if I was smart, I probably would have done the same thing after the Miami game last year and the Steeler game last year. It's shoe pissing ninnies. I live in the West Coast now. I live in Seattle. Is New England, you know, under like 2 feet of urine tonight? You tell me.
Wait. I'm not sure I tracked the question exactly.
The shoe pissing after last night's game. I thought there'd be flash flood watches from urine from the big Patriots fans. That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think like as happens every time they lose, you know, it's almost like Alabama losing this weekend. It's the second loss of the season. They're done. Like, I think there's a huge contingent of people who feel that way. I don't know if we talked about this on the show before, but I feel like the thing going back to the radio stuff and, like, you know, why the 2-6 show over on 98.5. Actually, I think the reason all of the shows on that station are
successful. The Anthrax Hour on 98.5.
The Anthrax Hour. I think the reason all of those shows are successful is that they figured out. I don't know if they figured it out. I don't know if it's conscious. But I don't know if they're conscious of it, but I think the reason those shows are successful is because they create people who, personalities who, or they put personalities on the radio who are easier to relate to than the players. And I think that's
easier
why,
to relate to if the people in your life are assholes.
Well, but there became a point in sports where players were making so much money that you couldn't look at it. It wasn't like, you know, like Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio or whoever, you know, 60 years ago, or Ted Williams and guys who, like, you know, went off and fought in wars, and you might run into them at the local watering hole or whatever. Regular Joes. Like, there aren't any regular Joes in sports anymore because the minimum salary is like $500,000 in every sport.
Working class money.
Right. And so I think it's become tougher. So who do you identify with? You identify with the kind of
the napkins wearing asshole? No, I don't identify with that.
But, like, the look at the people. I mean, I don't even know that Mike Felger is particularly relatable, but look who he surrounds himself with. You know, like, you know who
everybody on surrounds themselves with idiots and yes men.
You know, everybody on Twitter can relate to, especially when it comes to Heinz ketchup, is Jim Murray. Like, people can look at, people ask that guy for so much restaurant advice. And there's a guy on Twitter who was tracking it for a long time, asking that guy for all kinds of advice related to food.
Well, that's my friend Jay Santos.
They sent him, now known as Officer Jay Santos.
Former cop, and he's doing a good job cataloging the receipts of all these assholes who look to the talking radio men for validation.
The receipts are like, but it's like, it's wild. I mean, I don't know how to categorize it as some kind of phenomenon, because it's like, Jim.
It's not a phenomenon. It just means that the internet, that the wireless is working in the home. That's all it means.
No, it is. It's bizarre. It's bizarre behavior. And let me just describe it a little bit, because I know you know what I'm talking about, but I don't know how many of our listeners know what I'm talking about. There are people, and it's so many people. It is not one or two people. It's more than that, believe me. And they are, they ask him for advice. Like, I'm in Medford. Where should I eat Chinese food? I'm going to Nashville. Where should I eat? And it's why? Like, what? Just, have you ever heard of TripAdvisor? Like, why would you
download Yelp to your cell phone, your flip phone, you jerk?
We have so many crowdsourced consensus opinions out there that really, like, any given person's recommendation is kind of useless. And unless the person is like Gordon Ramsay, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to go to a fancy restaurant, I bet he knows a good one. But
there's also a very small subsection of fans that ask Dan Lifshatz and Joe Murray how to bet. That is the clearest path to Chapter 11 that I know.
If you want a diner, a drive-in, or what's the other thing? Or your dive, right? Go ask the fat Oompa Loompa guy with the horsey
Tony
sauce.
Tony Maz?
No. Guy Fieri. Go ask Guy Fieri for that. You know what I mean? Like, he at least has some expertise, and then he's been to all of them, you know? But you'll see people be like, I'm going to Seattle. Tell me where to eat, Big Jim Murray. And it's like, and I'm not, and this, by the way, this part is not even a criticism of Jim Murray. I just don't understand. Understand it. And then the ketchup. So he goes on and he takes the really tragically contrarian position of, hey, you know what ketchup is the best? Heinz. And so now people send him.
When you're dealing with such a sophisticated palate, is large gymnasium, you just gotta take that recommendation and go with it.
Well, now people all day send him pictures on Twitter of like whatever ketchup is in the restaurant, and they'll be like, "Oh my god, oh my god! Like I used to come here all the time. I used to come to this bar. I love this bar, but now I can't come back because they don't have Heinz." And it's like, no, listen, there's a slight chance that Heinz actually made the ketchup that's in that bottle, and it's a different label. Slight chance. There's also it's also ketchup is just vinegar, sugar, and tomatoes. It's not that complicated. It's not the room for variance is not that large. Just put it on your French fries and shut up.
But yeah, it's not exactly the difference between a guy like Tom Savage and a guy like Tom Brady. It's let's move on. We've spent way too much time talking about ketchup.
But there's a point. There's a point to this, which is that that's what they can relate to. And what does the average fan have in common with Tom Brady? And they make sure to emphasize the avocado ice cream and the pliability and all of the things that Tom Brady does to make himself the best player he can be and to go out and try to win on Sunday. They use that as a wedge to divide the audience and the players. And that's one of the reasons that they are that successful, is because they say, we're your friends. We tell you about the ketchup. We tell you where to eat Chinese food. And we're not crazy people who eat avocado ice cream or drink
unrelatable
gallons of water. We're not. They are very relatable. And they use every unrelatable thing to drive a wedge. And I don't know which side I'm on, because I saw Rob Gronkowski in my grocery store today. So what does that mean? What am I? Is Rob a man of the people and I am one of them? Or are we just both elites? I don't know.
That's your third sick humble brag of the pod.
I saw Rob Gronkowski at my grocery store, and I'm having an identity crisis. That's what's going on right now.
Kind of ketchup did he buy?
I don't even know if they sell Heinz. This is a fancy grocery store. They don't sell Heinz. Guess what? We're elites. Me and Gronk are not relatable.
At all.
Not a couple of Joes that you just hang around with from 2 to 6.
Did he buy some warming napkins? I mean,
where to buy Chinese food? He was wearing a very heavy coat and a Hartford Whalers hat. And he is a massive human being. And I've seen him. I've spoken with him in the past. But to see him in a grocery store.
Out of the context of the locker room, surrounded by other
among the humans. Human beings. Yes, among actual human beings, and not standing next to like Martellus Bennett or a guy like or a guy like Matt Lingle or who else was there? Oh, or Dwayne Allen, like
Nate Solder.
You know, even like Tom Brady is 6'5", so when he stands next to Gronk, it doesn't look crazy. But when you see him in the grocery store, he's a massive person. But anyway, yeah, this is why these shows are successful. Is they're not there to tell you what's going on. They want to reinforce the emotional. Whatever emotional reaction you had during the game, when you felt like Josh McDaniels was the biggest idiot for making that call on fourth down, that's what they want to do. They want to take your gut reaction to that and give you 4 hours of validation of that gut reaction. And I'm an idiot because I'll sit there and I'll go, you know what? I mean, if Sinu catches that ball, that was actually kind of a great call. Because it's not what the Texans were looking for. They suckered him in. They found the weakness in the defense. Sanu was open. Brady put the ball in his hands. 9 times out of 10, that's a catch. And I bet you 3 times out of 10, he scores. And for me, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, the result didn't work out. They should have done something different. But I'm a dummy. I'm a dumb elite dummy. Shopping at a fancy grocery store without Heinz ketchup. So we're here on this podcast. That's our lot in life.
Entitled Town 18, the ketchup edition.
The ketchup edition. I don't even eat ketchup anymore. That's how elite I am. So I avoid sugar. And, you know, listeners, hey, I could sit here and give you 2 hours of unrelatable nonsense. No problem. And at the end, we'll know who the people who actually care about football are, because they'll want to hear about that.
You want to go to the mailbag?
What you got?
All right. So Pat Nagawam sent an email. You can, if you want to reach out to us, our email address is entitledtown@gmail.com. And Pat Nagawam, thank you for sending the email. And he asks, hey guys, a question and a nitpick for you this week. Would you guys consider having a guest that may prove to be a little antagonistic? I'd love to hear you dress down someone like that dumb son of a bitch Lou Maloney, Jim Murray, anyone of that ilk. My guess is most of these kinds of guys are cowards. I love the podcast. My only bone to pick is they're not long enough. I understand that night games are tough, but if you record immediately after the game ends, I just want more. You kill it after a week. Keep up the great work. So I want to go this to you. Do you want somebody antagonistic like that dumb son of a bitch, Lou Maloney? And Lou actually provides a valuable public service. If you missed Michael Felger's takes yesterday, he'll give them to you today. So do you want the dumb son of a bitch, Maloney, or ketchup-swilling Jim Murray on?
Well, I don't listen to a lot of these shows, so I'm going to have to take your word for it on that. But that was funny. Yeah, no, I don't.
Pat Nagawam is an entitled town bobo.
Well, I got to say, you know, and we do this for the honks and the bobos, but
also green teamers. We do dabble in green teamers.
Absolutely. Green teamers, welcome. But
we're both green teamers.
And I like that Pat, I like that. That was a perfect time to read Pat's email because Pat definitely wants another hour of unrelatable nonsense. But
from the ketchup elite of New England.
From the ketchup elite. But all right. So the key question here is, like, do we want to have like first of all, they're not going to come on. Like, Lou Maloney's not doing this. Lou Maloney doesn't know what this is, and it's
no. Lou Maloney knows what it is. The only question I would want to ask Lou Maloney if he came on is why he finished second to get the Just for Men endorsement from Keith Hernandez. That's all I want to know.
Okay. I don't want to use our time here to bring on Lou Maloney and tell him what he already knows. He knows that he is not qualified to, you know, shape New England's opinions on Al Horford. Like, he knows that. He went through it as a player. He got upset because Ben Affleck was pretty crude in his assessments of Lou Maloney as a player. And what does Ben Affleck know about baseball? Nothing. You know, here's an interesting thought. You know, here's what I think of Lou Maloney, okay? I think, and I've gone on Twitter and I've said stuff before about how he's like a replacement level player, which he just about is, you know, on a season by season basis, just a little over replacement level.
Scab.
Little infielder.
Scab.
Well, and that's something that a good number of people might find problematic for good reasons. But I'll say this. For what it must have taken for him to get to the major leagues, the work that he had to put in, the skill that he did have to have. I mean, he's in the top. You got to be in the top 1%, if not even a smaller number, of baseball players in the world to make it that far. And he wasn't very good. He was at that level, he was not considered very good. And people will just say, well, Lou Maloney sucked. But I'm here to give him the best. Like, that guy worked so hard to get that little piece and to make an actual career for himself. And that aspect of Lou Maloney's career, you know, of his professional life, is so impressive. And you know what? It's nothing to write home about. Nobody's enshrining him in any, not even the team Hall of Fame or anything like that. But you know, I've seen people who go from children who put in all that time to grow up to become professionals, and it is absolutely incredible the work that it takes and everything. And then to be the person who tears down other people, that is staggering to me.
Horford is a much more accomplished pro athlete. It's an insult to Al Horford to have Lou Maloney compared to him, so I'm not going to do that.
For Lou to be someone that a lot of people would point at as a baseball player and go, well, you sucked.
And no, Dave, he was elite. He was elite. He was the most elite bellhop Nomar ever had.
Here's the thing. Here's what I know about you. I know that you wouldn't say that about Lou Maloney if he wasn't out there criticizing players.
Listen, I'm not anti-criticism. What I am against is authenticity is what I want.
Yeah.
Did I scream at the TV last night? Of course I screamed at the TV last night. Brady was 7-20 at halftime.
Or unfair, or unreasonable, or unwarranted criticism. And
gratuitous criticism.
But you are criticizing, when you criticize Lou as a player, you're really criticizing the broadcaster.
Yes, the broadcaster. I'm not criticizing the player. I'm criticizing the asswipe broadcaster.
Right, because here's what I'm saying. Like I just look at the reality of what it took for him to get there, and I know that even though, and we all do it, we all at some point minimize the accomplishments of people who aren't great. But to make a living at that, knowing how hard it is to even just get that little taste of you know, the 6 or 7 or whatever it was your career that he had in the majors, and never play more than like 80, you know, like half a season, to know what that takes, and then to be that disingenuous that you're going to dump on Al Horford or whoever it is.
And or everybody. It's whoever it is. He takes his talking points from Felger. I mean, how shameless can you be?
I don't need to sit Lou Maloney down and say to him, this is what I think of you, and then give him the opportunity to justify that. He's got his own show. If he wants to justify the way he is, he's got a place. He's got a platform for that all day. So I'm not looking to give time to people. If somebody asks,
Lou's got enough time. Screw him. Lou's got enough time.
If somebody wants to come back and says that we have a factual mistake about them or wants to correct the record somehow, I would absolutely honor their right to do that. But I'm not looking to get into it and have an argument. You know, if I have an argument with Lou, who I don't even know, who probably doesn't even know that the show exists, if we had an argument with him, we give credence to his side of the argument. We give equal time to it. And I just don't think there's an argument to be made that Al Horford is average, for example, or one of the other takes that he has. So, Pat Nagawam, I really appreciate your comments. And I think that I wish I could give you some more of what you want there. But unfortunately, I just feel like it's not the right thing for us to be doing.
If you want to listen to Lou, be one of the 24 that actually listen to that show in the afternoon. I got, and that's enough, Lou. We have one more. It's not an email. It's actually a message to the Entitled Town account. It's from @Rob with 2 B's, 1239. Hey, man, and love the Entitled Town podcast. And he goes on. The bullshit spewed by Chris Gasper on the pregame show, who is citing sources within the organization, said that Brady is fed up. These guys think these guys just make shit up and think they'll get clicks, and then a la Kevin Cullen, just tie it to an anonymous source. I'm from New England and live in Philly. The Boston media stooges are worse than the guys in Philly. It's freaking maddening that this is the content we're forced to digest as Pat fans. Anyway, keep up the good work.
Very nice.
He's not wrong. The Gasper stuff we covered last week. I'm sure Gasper had thesaurus.com up and whatever take of the moment he was giving, but it's just emblematic of John Henry's Red Sox Reader's Gazette. I'm sure they were thrilled that Bolden didn't recover the onside kick last night so they could take a week of steaming dumps, killing Bill the GM, Bill the coach, questioning McDaniel, saying that Brady's old, and it's the same as a talking head, same as it ever was.
You act like it would have mattered whether they'd won the game or not.
They would have got lucky. You can't go in to the road and you can't go on the road and win without getting lucky.
Okay, so it's been a while since I've read one of our reviews from iTunes, and I'd like to encourage people to go there and write a review. And we were in a good habit of reading these, and we got out of that. And so here's one. It actually goes back to November 4th. No one is afraid of you. You in all caps. And there's a little bit more, but for whatever reason, iTunes doesn't give you the whole thing. But anyway, this is from AMB3629, 5-star rating. Thanks for taking me off the edge, boys. 8-1 had me looking to Cobain myself before I listened to you. And I think that's a little dramatic. I certainly hope that wasn't true, I also, in the event that it was true, I hope that we've gotten to you in time this time.
Consider Entitled Time your lifeline.
Yeah, that would be tragic if, you know. But no, nobody should take football that seriously, I don't think. And, you know, but if you get a chance to go out there and rate us and review us, we would greatly appreciate that. All right, anything else going on?
I think we're covered on this. I think we're covered on this end, Mr. Brown. It's a disappointing result for those of us who root for the team. For those of us who keep a critical eye towards the mediates in the area, it's going to be a target-rich environment during the week. So my Twitter handle, as you may know, is at Ironhead334. Dave's Twitter handle is at ThatDaveBrown. Make sure to check out Dave's stuff in the Concord Monitor. And it's going to be, as a fan, a long week. I'm thankful professionally that I'm going to be a little bit busy so I can unplug from the Hooked on Moronics that's going to go on Boston Sports Radio and in Boston media. But I think that the Patriots will line up next Sunday against a formidable opponent at home. Hopefully the weather will be fair because there'll be a fairness bowl. They're 10-2. They're tied for the best record in football. Don't believe everything you hear and read in Boston media.
You know, I don't think that the story of this NFL season is going to be whether the Patriots can get their offense together. I think that the story of this NFL season is going to be whether or not the kind of the dominant football the Ravens have been playing is sustainable. And so I think either somebody's going to figure out the Ravens and beat them, or the Ravens are going to continue to play really well and they're going to win the Super Bowl.
I will tell you, the Ravens are good. I'm not going to tell you they're not. They kicked the shit out of the Patriots a couple weeks ago. But I will tell you right now, if the Patriots, if you flip-flop the markets, if you put Felcher and the gaslighting pricks down the Baltimore market, they're telling you that the Ravens are a gimmick offense. This is not sustainable. Jackson's going to get hurt,
right,
so on and so forth. Ravens are good. Their defense is improving. Jackson is a, you know, pretty electric player. They have a power running game. They're exploiting the same sort of money ball stuff that we talked about in previous episodes with the Patriots, where defenses are getting lighter and quicker. They're going at them with a power running game, and they're good. They're good. There are three excellent teams in the AFC.
Well, one last thought here before we clock out. I think, you know, it is stunning to me that we are sitting here 12 months later, 50 weeks, as you pointed out with a story you alluded to earlier, where everyone's saying the exact same thing again.
We talked about this before the episode. I didn't want to hammer home the Groundhog Day, but you're right.
Well, everybody is back to, and this is how effective the shaping of the fan base is by the local media contingent, is that we are sitting here a year later, and people are telling me that the Ravens have replaced the Chiefs as the dominant force that everybody thinks is unbeatable, and they're saying the Patriots can't go on the road and win a game in the playoffs, and they're saying the Patriots offense will never figure out, they don't have the weapons they need to win it. And you know, a year ago Josh Gordon got suspended, and it was they still figured it out.
Let's go back. You make a great point there, Dave.
And they erased history. Back. People have erased. It just happened. It just happened a year ago. And
well, so you don't need to say that's not
possible is wild.
Agreed. And let's just go back 4 years. That's all. 4 years. The Broncos and the Panthers. Cam Newton was changing the game. Fast forward to today, the Broncos and Panthers aren't good. Matt Ryan, 2016, him and the Falcons are going to change the game. MVP. Kyle Shanahan, they're no good.
Yeah.
2 years ago, the Eagles, Doug Peterson, Philly special. That Doug Peterson said this is going to become, and I'm paraphrasing, that the Super Bowl parade was going to become the norm in Philadelphia. They lost at Miami to a team that the media had been telling me all year would never win a game, wouldn't be competitive, couldn't get better. And, oh, by the way, my Dale Arnold phrase of the day, it's shocking that a Patriot-centric coaching staff has taken a bunch of guys who are, we were told again, that we're going to win a game all year, and they've continually improved all year to the point it's where really the DVOA is now going back towards the norm, you know, giving credit to Aaron Schatz and his tweet today, where the Patriots no longer have one of the 50 worst schedules in the history of the game.
Huh. Well, I will say, you know, that what you just highlighted there was all of the teams that have been dominant or have had a moment.
The darlings of the moment. And you go
5 years or so.
And the same shit. The same shit we're hearing now. I'm sorry to interrupt, Dave. The same shit we're hearing now with regards to the Patriots' weapons. The same thing happened in 2012. The same thing happened in 2013. The same thing happened in 2015. Now, did they win those seasons? No, they didn't. They also got to the Final Four. They were playing in the AFC Championship game each year.
And this is the point I was going to make, is that most teams, they maximize their cap space, or they gear everything up. You know, maybe you have a quarterback on his first contract or something like that, where you take advantage of that and you
which is what the Ravens are doing.
Pour all of your cap resources into one big run for a Super Bowl.
Which is what the Rams did.
And then you cycle off. Like, you know, you have to pay the piper the next year. We saw that a lot with Philly. Philly lost a lot of depth after they won it in 2017. And what people don't understand is, you know, they're dumping on Bill for mismanagement, mistakes, and malpractice. He's already acquitted of any of that because they're 10-2. That they're even competitive after winning 3 Super Bowls in 5 years is unheard of. It is an absolute – there is no other organization that has played – that has done this in the salary cap era. Everyone falls off, and they haven't. They're still here. And you know what? A year from now, they very well may still be here too, and we can sit here and talk about all the reasons why they're not going to win the Super Bowl. And to be in that position is quite enviable. I'm a Giants fan. My team has 2 wins. It is excruciating. We lost to the Jets. It was painful. And the quarterback, Daniel Jones, who I think is very promising, fumbles all the time, and they can't fix it. And it makes me insane. And I want to fire the coach. And you know what? I feel like I have more of a right to be angry at my coach than any of you have to be at yours. So that's where I am on this.
This just turned into a therapy session. I hope that was. I hope it helped you.
NFL fan therapy. Was that a plug?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. So I think we've done a podcast here. I'm on the brink of collapse. So I'm going to get back to Cyber Monday and get some sweet deals. Maybe run back to the grocery store and hang out with Gronk and get some fancy ketchups.
Will you text me if you see a sweet deal on Cyber Monday ketchups, please?
You bet I will. That's a guarantee. All right. So what are we on to? We got a big game this week?
We're on to a week of misery before playing the Chiefs.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye for now.